Welcome to Friday Night Movies with Abe. Hannah couldn't make it today because she had midterms. So I want to talk about the movie reviews this week. Two movies I want to talk about is Premam, a Malayalam South Indian movie, and another one is called Back to the Future Part 1. Before we dive into Premam, I wanted to talk about Indian movies as a whole, right? Most people know Indian movies as just Bollywood or Hindi movies, right? And they're like over-the-top action movies that a lot of people seen or talk about. But in actuality, in India, there's so many languages that each language, or not each language, but certain languages have their own movie industries, right? Especially if you go to the South movie, like South of India, there's four main languages that the movie industry is based off of. There's the Malayalam movie, which is in Kerala. And there is the Tamil movie, which has its own state named Tamil Nadu. And Telugu has two states, which is known as Andhra and Telangana. And Karnataka has the language of Kannada, right? And so these South Indian movies, right? They call them the South Indian movies. And there's also Bengali and Marathi and Punjabi movies as well, as well as Hindi movies, right? The reason Hindi movie is the biggest industry in India is because more commonly spoken language in India is Hindi, right after it's Hindi than English, I believe. And so Hindi is more wide-reached and a lot of people watch it. And it's more internationally known as well because a lot more international theaters play these movies. In recent times, South Indian movies has grown a large following or even bigger base because of the quality or the type of movies they do, right? Each movie, each industry itself has their own unique identity to them. Like, for example, Malayalam movies have stories and storytelling, right? And the Tamil movie is known for the realistic approach of certain of movies, right? And Telugu movies are known for the commercial blockbuster type of movies, right? That's where you see a bit over the top as well as like you get bit of flavors there. And Kannada is also a smaller industry compared to these three big ones. And so they're still trying to get their recognition as they did make this really great movie in India. It's called KGF. They're making part one and part two. And everyone's excited in India for part two. And so also Bengali and Marathi movies, they make really great movies as well. But not a lot of people talk about them, I guess. That's where Premam comes from, state name Kerala. And I call it Malayalam movie because based on its language, right? It's easier to do and it's easier to identify. Before we get into Premam, let's talk about the synopsis of it, right? It's about a guy named George and his life going through various phases of love. In his life, right? Basically, he has his first love, second love, which is a pain of separation, and the third love is surety of love, right? His settling down type of love, like getting married and having the ever after thing, right? And so basically, this movie, I actually watched the remake of this, right? In Telugu, sadly. I know if you're a Premam fan, you'd be like, why did you watch that? Yeah, I didn't know either. Like, I just watched it, and I was like, I realized after I watched it that there is a remake. I mean, this was a remake movie. When I first watched the Telugu movie, I thought it was fine. Like, there was nothing big to it, right? There wasn't, like, great. It wasn't, like, a great story or anything. I thought the acting was fine. Not too much. But I felt like there was something missing in the movie, right? I don't know if it's the writing or the story. Or so my sister was recommending me to watch the original because I know the actor. Like, I've seen his few movies as well. I believe it's... what's his name again? It's Naveen Pauly. Yeah, sorry. I don't know if I forgot his name. Naveen Pauly. He's a great actor. And I seen a few of his movies and they're really great. So I gave this a try, right? And this movie blew my mind in terms of how a story like this can be made, right? Yeah, like you guys be wondering, why am I praising this one but not the remake? Well, I guess the remake was lost in translation of the movie, right? In this movie, basically in the story, right, he has three stages of love life, right? And each stage teaches our main protagonist a lesson, or like even the loss of love, right? And how he learned from it. And so one of the great things about it is it's acting and the way that the characters were able to portray these characters, right? It was so pure and it was so realistic, in the sense that these characters are real, like real characters that we see each day, right? And so I remember, especially in the first, spoilers for anyone that haven't watched it, right? My recommendation is go watch this movie. It's incredible. That's like non-spoiler. But if you're getting into spoilers, I have to mention, especially the first part, right? I'm going to go in order. I'll talk about the first love, then the second and the third, right? In this first love, he meets a girl, right? Her name is Mary. And it's like the teenage love, right? It's like the perfect woman that he imagines her to be. It's like he imagines her to be like this perfect, beautiful woman in his mind. And the funny part is every guy goes after that girl, right? That's the representation of the movie of that character. And it was really great to see how his expressions and his face, like whenever he sees her, that purity of love is inflicted on his face, right? You can clearly tell, and which is really greatly done, right? I think it was one of my best moments when he realizes she loves someone else. When she loves someone else, that heartbreak that he felt in that scene, it's beautiful. It's beautifully portrayed. And I think that was what was missing in the remake, right? As well as certain scenes and the representation of what the butterfly meant, right? There's a butterfly in the movie, it's the representation of love. How the butterfly gives love to the flowers is the same way that our character gives love to these three girls that he meets in his life, right? And in the first one, it's sad, but at the same time, he bounces back, right? He bounces back from that and goes to his second love, which is a girl named Mala, right? And which is a Sai Palev character, right? This is his college days love, right? He's now not a teenager. He's more of a college dude and he's doing his degree, right? Like his university. And his attitude and character changes over time, and it's great to see his first scene when you see in college days, right? He literally he blows up like a stage that people are doing their talent show kind of thing. He blows it up, then he fights these rival gang in the college, and it's like that music that plays in the background, it's incredible. That scene itself, it's like it pumps your blood. It's like, yeah, you beat him up. He's like, you don't, and you know, they get suspended after that. But it's just a great scene to introduce him after that change. And you see this rough and tough guy, right? And you see like this guy that can break rules. But when he sees his second love, the face that he makes, like that child, the innocence of love, even though he's this tough, scary looking guy in the entire college, right? It's just mind blowing to see how much change he does over that. And it was really great to see that in terms of acting, as well as all three actresses in this movie, right? The three actresses they have, right? They do a great job in terms of how they portray their character. College Day Love, right? That's the Sai Pallavi character, Muller. And it is beautiful to see the relationship or the chemistry between these two actor and actresses, right? It is just refreshing. It feels... The great thing about this is... he falls in love with the teacher. I mean, a prof, basically. And she's older than him. And even though there's the boundary of, like, her being older, he still, you know, goes for it, even though it's her lecturer. And it's just great to see that he tries out for the prof and how she even falls for him too, right? The funniest part in the movie for that like bit of the movie was there's another prof that tries for the Sai Pallavi character too, right? He's like, yeah, I'm a prof, she's a prof, I need a girl. So he tries out, but like she clearly was not into him, but she was clear into like our main protagonist, Naveen Pallavi's character, George, right? And so the comedy over there and his reactions whenever she rejected him or gave him like the wrong phone number, it's just him crying, and it's just, no, I just find that funny, right? And you can tell in this movie that there's a deeper meaning in terms of what it represents, because there's these butterflies that were introduced in the movies, right? And random shots of butterflies, right? In the beginning I was like, what is this? Why are there butterflies? What's the representation of this, right? And so once you, at the end of the movie, they explain what the butterfly represented, and the movie makes so much sense, right? Even in the songs that they have, it's just great to see that relation back to the butterfly and our main characters, right? And the most of the movie takes place in the college, right? College days. And I think it is, yeah, I really like the college scenes, right? Wherever, like, he gets into fights or he just trying to impress her. And that song that plays between Naveen Pallavi and Sai Pallavi, the montage, I think that was a great, great scene. And really beautifully visuals too, right? It has really great visuals. The editing is where I was a bit iffy on. Like, I like the editing, but it's not as great as I would have loved it to be. Sometimes I was like, why is there edit here or there? And so that was my big problem, but that's it. And the third story, right, where after, so basically spoilers, if, again, I said spoilers, right? Basically, when the Sai Pallavi's character gets into an accident, she gets an amnesia and she forgets about her memory, about him and everything that relates to Naveen Pallavi's character, George, right? And so his breakdown of that, he realizes when he meets her after the accident is like she doesn't remember him, and that his breakdown of that moment and the music that plays, it's beautifully done. And I think this is the only part of the movie which I loved the editing of it, right? Everything felt like it was going back, like everything was shot. The editing was perfect. The music, that scene itself, I think that was the highlight of the movie for me. It's especially that scene where he realizes she can't remember anything, anything from the past. And his breakdown and separation of love, right, is just beauty to see that scene. So after that scene where he breaks down because she doesn't remember him, right? I think after a few days, she gets married and he goes to her wedding, and it's just sad to see. So after, that's just a sad scene, right? It just, it broke me. Not, I didn't cry, but like in terms of emotional scenes, it's like, it's a really great scene and it was like really tragic. And after a few years later, he has his own bakery and he has his own like bakery shop, right? And his childhood girl, when he was in love with her, the first love, right? His teenage love, there was this little girl she's all grown up, right? And she meets, she comes to the bakery. This is his third love, right? Celine, George, right? That's a great scene too, when he discovers who she is, right? Her his childhood, like, girl next door. And it was just great when he has that same experience of love this time. It's matured in a way where he's not afraid to not lose her again, right? So he says it right away. The funny part about how he expresses love, right? In the first instance of love, like this teenage one with Mary George, right? With Mary George, he doesn't say his love to her. And the second one, he says it to her. Like, I don't think he says it, but they have expressed love to each other, right? With Mahler's character, right? He expresses love, but he doesn't say it. And in the third one, he says it right away, and implying that even though he was hesitant to say it in the beginning, now he's comfortable of saying it right away when he meets Celine George, right? His character. And the same expression he had when he met Mary George and Mueller is the same expression where he says, has it with Celine George. And that expression itself is beautiful, right? And the love blossoms over there. It's really nice. And so that's basically the story of the movie. And one of the things I really liked about the movie was the characterization of them. Way betterly done in this movie compared to the remake. The remake misses a lot of things, right? He misses the butterfly themed love, the representation. Every time a butterfly leaves in a shot, right, it's like his love is leaving away. Or like whenever two butterflies are too close together, that's when the love is blossoming amongst George and one of his one of the three girls that he has a connection with, right? And so it's great to see that aspect of his character and of that story, and which I really like. The direction of this movie is really great. Direction, the director does make a cameo in the movie. And it's great to see. It's like, oh, that was him. I realized this after I was researching about the movie. It's like, it was a director and stuff. And so I like the direction. The music adds so many layers to the character and the emotion of the movie, right? It elevates this movie to a whole new level. And the other part I really liked, or I really connected with, was the cinematography, right? The shots that they were shown and the scenes that they shot, right? The places where they did it. It has this really great impact on the movie where it feels like you're in this environment and it feels like you're going through this journey with him, with George, right? And it is just really nice to see that aspect of the movie. The production values were good. It's not as great as I would love to be. I thought the remake had better production value compared to this one, but this was really good as well. The editing, who director edited as well as he wrote the movie, right? He was good. Like, it wasn't bad. As I said, I think the editing was the weak part of the movie for me. Other than that, like, there were some scenes where I was like, why is this editing choice there? Other than that, I thought the movie was really great and I really liked it. I really recommend this movie for anyone who hasn't watched it. It's on Amazon Prime if you guys have it. Or, you know, there's other ways you can watch the movie. I can't say it because I don't want to get in trouble for it. But, you know, there's subtitles too, right? That's how I watched it. I don't understand every language, right? And so the languages I do understand or don't even understand, I use subtitles. So it's a subtitle movie and you can watch it. It's a great watch. It's a really great love story, a really great romantical movie, right? And that's prima for you. Out of 10, I will give it 8.5. I think it's a really strong movie, or 8.4. I like giving points because I feel like I'm exact. You know, it has everything that I like in a romantic movie, with great story, great characters, really good cinematography, amazing music, as well as really good writing as well, right? The writing doesn't feel like they're cringy, or they don't feel like they're preachy, or they don't feel like, oh yeah, look, I'm a writer, I want to create poetic words that make no sense or that sound like a fourth grader wrote it, right? It feels like an honest take of the movie, like of these characters. So that what these characters will say, and I really like that word. Like, I really like this movie. So yeah, that's my review on Primo. Now let's jump into Back to the Future Part One. As a movie, I really like it. It's a unique premise with time traveling in it, and has great comedy pieces, set pieces as well, right? This movie is, for the ones who don't know, right? It's about a guy named Marty, goes back into the past by a car, DeLorean, which was invented by Dr. Emmett Brown, his friend, right? He creates the time machine, and Marty goes back in time and gets into a bit of a mess with his parents, and he has to fix that and has to go back into the future, or the his present time. And that's basically the premise of the movie. And it's a fun premise. It's a really fun premise. And the way in which they go about doing things is really great. I really enjoyed it. And it is a fun movie. One of the great things about this movie that I really personally like is how simple the story is, right? In this complex, it seems complex of like time travel and stuff, but it's simple, right? He just goes back in time when his parents were teenagers, and how he interacted with his parents, which is the funniest thing, right? It gives you the great laughs and gives you great insight on how he basically changes his parents' future. And it's unique. I remember the first time I saw it, I laughed really hard with a few of the scenes. One of my favorite scenes in the entire movie is the chase scene, right? It's not for comedy show, but it's the chase where, you know, Biff gets in fight with Marty, and Marty's running around and creates a skate boat in 1959, right? Yeah, 1955, right? And he creates the skateboard, and it's just hilarious. The chase scene, the choreography there, and it's like, it's really amazing to watch. And that, but the funniest scene for me is his interactions with his mother. It's kind of creepy. I mean, it's not creepy, but it's hilarious. I don't know how to put it. It's just, I found it funny, right? When he meets his mom for the first time, she sees him in his underwear. He doesn't have his pants on. He wakes up. She's really close. And it's just awkward. It's hilarious. And it hits you in the right spots, right? And when he sees his uncle, it's like, you'll get used to these bars and like soon enough, right? Like the rest of your life. I thought that was hilarious. And how can you forget Dr. Emmett Brown, right? Doc. He is one of the lives into this movie, right? He is like one of the souls in this movie. He has a great personality, great character, right? He brings this joy and warmth, but you always wanted to be a friend like him or be like him in the sense that he's really smart. He invents things and he was rich when he was younger, right? Which I find it so funny. Like, no, I like his character. One of the great things about this movie are the cast itself. They have Michael J. Fox playing Marty McFly. They have Christopher Loy playing Emmett Doc Brown, right? Leah Thompson playing Marty's mother, and Crispin Glover playing George McFly, which is Marty's father, and Thomas F. Wilson playing Biff. Right. Biff is one of the greatest bully characters I've seen so far. He has this charm that you just want to punch him in the face. He has that great personality. Whenever you see him, you just want to punch him. He has that conniving personality to him. He just wants to hurt McFly. That's the worst he could. You know, he's a great antagonist, in my opinion, for the movie that it was set to be. Even in the later movies, especially in part two, it's like what he becomes and what he does with the time machine, like with the knowledge of the past, is just really great, right? There's a few things I actually didn't know about this movie. Was the script was turned down by lots of studios about 40 times, I believe, right? Robert Zemeckis, the guy, he's the director of this movie, right? He wanted to create the movie, shot down every time he asked. And it just, like, by 40 studios, right? And that's, like, I think he tried it in the 1980s. And finally, they approved it in 1984. They made the movie and they released in 1985. And so... yeah, it's like you see these great movies have this great history of how they were rejected, and you know how the studios were wrong. And I guess you needed a great cast as well as great writing in this movie, right? Because the jokes needed to land, the punches needed to land, right? The writing. The lines had to be delivered in a way where it's the perfect thing. It's not too, it's not cringy. It doesn't feel like the over the top. It feels the right amount of weight to those characters while they say it, right? It feels realistic enough where you buy into the characters. They don't feel too cartoony where you lose in translation, right? And writing those comedy timing itself and directing it, it's really hard to do in comedies, right? Especially nowadays in comedy, there's no movie like Back to the Future for me, or like even like Aeroplane, for example, right? There is no piece of this perfect comedy writing. And I think you find this. And I don't know if it's the right, I think it's a writing and a direction fault at the same time, because once you say those lines, it has to have a punch. It has to be in the correct time in order for the laughs to happen. And I think this movie does a fantastic job in that sense, right? And I just like some of the references to 1985 with the comic book being aliens, and like when he first goes back into the past, when into the barn, and you see those four, you see that family come by and they're like, "Dad, I think it's an alien." And so he gets his gun to shoot at Marty. I thought it was funny because I was like, that's a great like piece, right? It's something unexpected, and it's just funny. I guess that's what people are done to. Like, you just see a random thing that you never seen before come. Yeah, I would have been scared. I got the gun and shot that thing too, right? Or protected myself in that sense, right? But the movie, if you're talking about the visual effects too, right? With the car and everything, it's actually really nicely done for the 1985 market, like for that year. Like if you compare it to now, it's not as great, but it still holds up. The movie, the great thing about this movie, it still holds up in 2021, right? It doesn't, you don't see that, oh, it's the 80s. Like, yeah, there is the 80s references. And you, like, not the references, but just the 80s look to the movie and 1985 look as well. But like, if you look at, if you just look at it in terms of like what it was a great movie, right? Some of my best characters were like side characters anyway, were like the mayor character. He's like, I want to be a mayor one day. And it's like, you going to be a mayor? His owner just laughing at him. And after what, 20 years, 30 years, he becomes a mayor. That's just great, you know? It's like he gets his own little arc, I felt. I just felt like, oh, yeah, he becomes the mayor. I love how they set it up too, right? The first 20 minutes of the movie, all they do is set up these things that happened in the past. I mean, that, you know, things that in the past, like, how do I explain it, right? You know, they set up things and they have, like, when he goes to pass, they have their arcs happen, right? Like the mayor arc or like the clock tower. That's how the lightning gets struck and stuff like that, right? And I think that's a great way of building the story, right? I love the plutonium where Doc Brown gets the idea on that day, you know, if Marty came a day after, I mean, before, I don't think Doc would ever believe him, right? It needed to be on that day. And it's funny, too. Everything happens on that day, like his parents meet. And like that week, his parents, you know, are supposed to meet on that day. And in that week, they're supposed to have the first kiss. And, you know, it's supposed to be meant to be like, oh, that's when they're going to get married and stuff. You know, they had the future ahead of them, right? I like... The other great thing about this movie was the budget was only $4 million, you know? It was only a $4 million dollars. Back then, I guess it was a lot, right? And it made about like $381.1 million. That is great, insane. A $4 million budget making over $381.1 million. You know, it's the highest grossing film at that time. And it got rejected by 40 studios. Like, come on. I'm just thinking, like, how many ideas that were great got shut down because they thought it was too, you know, hard to replicate, or they didn't like the idea, right? I just find that funny. Sorry, my bad. It's not $4 million, it's $19 million. I just searched it. I was wrong. I thought it was $4 million. Never mind. Yeah, it was distributed, but the music too, right? Music really helps. That theme song that plays with when he goes back and comes back in time, or when he punches Biff, and that is great music, right? When he goes back in time, or like when he's going to the future, that music starts playing. It's great. Like the musical references in this movie are really good, right? Really memorable music too, right? The song The Power of Love is really great, and the theme song, like the Back in Time one, which was really great. It's just I liked how in the past and in the present no one liked Marty's music. I thought that was hilarious, you know, where he goes for the heavy rock and roll type of thing. I just find that hilarious. I do love the special effects too. I think the movie had about 300 effects type of shots, and it was really great to see. Let's talk about the car. the DeLorean. I don't know why they had it, but the car look itself was great because the car itself sucks. Like, let's be real. The car, it's not a great car, but the look of it is really great, you know? It makes you feel like, yeah, it's a time-traveling car. But if you bought the car, I felt sad for you, you know? But yeah, there's lots of product placement in the movie too, but they use it right, like Pepsi and stuff like that, right? It's just, it's great. But what I like about 1985 is the cultural context. It changed the way, the movie changed the way we look at certain topics of movies, right? Like time traveling became a big thing after that, right? And a lot of movies with time traveling came. And the concept of like just the classic concept of fighting the bully and getting the girl type of thing. And a lot of science fiction movies came after this, right? And part two and three are really great, but I think part one is the best one, in my opinion, in the series. I do not think part, if I had to rate which part I really like, and the three is part one. Part three, I really enjoyed, and part two, like, I liked part two, but not as much as part three. So if I had to give a rating to this movie, I would give it, out of 10, I'd give it a solid, like, 8.8, close to a 9. This movie is really close to a 9. I love this movie. I can watch this movie as many times as I can. The only reason I can't give it a 9 or higher is because there's few scenes I do not like, or like there's few things. Like, cinematography is all right in this movie. That's my big, it was great, but it's not as, you know, as great as it could be. There were a few things I wish they did better, you know, especially the first. The setting up was good. I just felt, I guess I've seen too many movies. So it's like, it's predictable plot at the end of the day, right? That's why I give it 8.8. Really great movie. I really highly recommend it. I think it's up there. It's in like my top 20 or 10 movies of all time, right? It's one of those movies where I can go back. I really hope they don't remake this. If they do, it breaks my heart. I really wish they don't. Because I really like this movie, that's why. That's my review of Back to the Future, Part 1. And that would be all for our podcast today. I know this may be a short podcast. And yeah, it's just me ranting and talking about two movies I watched. Well, these two movies I really like, Premium and Back to the Future. So there's no big complaints about these movies. But I wish in the future I'll make a movie where I can complain a lot. Because there is a lot of movies I've seen I hated. I just couldn't bear. But, you know, these two movies I watched over reading week. And, you know, really, really great movies. So I really wanted to talk about these two. Thank you for coming and watching our podcast. If you really like it, you know, you can have suggestions for other movies if you want in the comments. If there's a comment section below, right? Just name me a movie that you guys want us to review or even talk about, right? And I will do it. Even if my sister's available, she will do it. So I hope you guys have a great day. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Bye.